Good morning.
Good morning.
If you're visiting with us this morning, as Scott pointed out, I'm not the usual speaker, so you'll have to come back next week to hear Jim speak. This morning, I'm going to be reading from the book of Acts. We're going to stay mostly in chapter 3, starting in verse 1 and reading all the way through chapter 4, verse 4, because I believe that what we read here can be used as a pattern for our life as Christians, that the elements of what we read here today can and should be applied to all of our lives as Christians. And from what I'm reading from will be the New American Standard, so if your version is slightly different, that's why. But starting out in Acts 3, verses 1 and 2, it says, "Now Peter and John were going up to the temple at the ninth hour, the hour of prayer. And a man who had been lame from his mother's womb was being carried along, whom they used to set down every day at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, in order to beg alms of those who were entering the temple." I want to stop here for just a second. I want to touch on an aspect of Scripture that we sometimes do not think about. And that is, how do we use Scripture in our everyday life? Not so much as in problem solving or in comfort, the way we typically think about it, but what about in our speech? What about in our sayings, how we talk to one another?
Amen.
The ninth hour, the way the New American Standard translates it here, if you have an NIV, it will say at 3 p.m. But that's okay, because there's other scriptures in the NIV, such as when Jesus is on the cross, it talks about the sixth hour, the ninth hour. I don't know why they translated this 3 p.m. in other areas, the sixth hour, ninth hour. But if you've been in business or maybe in a group of people where you had something due and something changes at the last minute, you may hear them say, "Why did you bring me this at the ninth hour?" Well, what do they mean by that? They mean, why did you bring it at this late point in time? Why did you bring us this before we could make changes? It comes from Scripture and is based in these stories. The ninth hour is also when Christ died on the cross. It is finished. These are times that they're telling you, you've brought me this too late. But that should also be an indication to us as Christians to remind us of those Scriptures. And if in our daily lives we're using these, we can explain those meanings to the people around us. You may tell me, hey, I've heard 11th hour, I've never heard of 9th hour. So if you've been in a group of people and someone has said, why have you brought this up at the 11th hour? Well, that comes from Matthew 20, where Jesus is speaking about a parable of the vineyards and the people that go out to work. The last ones he hires at the 11th hour. They only work 1 hour. They're working a 12-hour day from 6 to 6. So if you're around someone and they say, hey, why did you bring me this at the 11th hour? They may not even know where that saying came from. You can explain that to them. But us as Christians, it should remind us of the Scriptures so that we might be able to explain to the people around us what they're saying. Another example of this, I like to use this example because it's in nature. We can use nature to explain God to people around us also, and the truth of His Word to them. Several years ago, we were camping at Payne's Prairie. Now, I don't know how many of you have ever been there, but it's a beautiful place, and they have an observation tower that you can climb up and overlook the prairie. And on a good day, you might happen to see some wild bison or some wild horses out there. But either way, it's a beautiful area to overlook. We were camping with some friends, and it had been raining. We went up to the observation post. Looking out, there was a rainbow out there. And there were some people at the top of that observation post that we did not know. And the gentleman looked at us and said, isn't that a beautiful rainbow? And the guy with me said, yes, it is. He said, and you know, every time I see a rainbow, I'm reminded of God's promise that He'll never destroy the earth by water again.
Amen.
And this was a time in which a short conversation ensued where we were able to explain some Scripture to this man who may or may not have known Christ. We don't know his background. We don't know the effect of that on his life. But we do know we took the opportunity to share a little bit of scripture with him while we were there that day.
Amen.
So, when we're going about our daily lives, guys, use things within scripture to remember scripture so that we can then share the gospel with those around us.
Yes.
And the reason I bring this up is because Peter and John, in what we're reading, were going about their everyday life. They did not make special plans. They weren't going on a special missionary journey. We do read in other portions of Acts where they do that. But here they're just going about their everyday life, using that for us. Continuing this reading through Acts 3:3, we read, "When he saw Peter and John about to go into the temple, he began asking to receive alms. But Peter, along with John, fixed his gaze on him and said, 'Look at us.'" This starts the section that we read this morning. And I believe this is the heart of the section that we could and should be using as a pattern in our life. Because notice what Peter says to him. He says, "Look at us." Now, Scripture does not specifically say why he says this to the man. But I think there is a truth revealed here that if we do not remove people's attention from this world, that they will not become focused enough to receive the Word of God.
Amen.
This guy was looking for people who would give him money. He had been lame from birth. This was how he made a living. And the ninth hour, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, was when people went up to the temple to pray. So this is rush hour, guys. There's a lot of people coming up. They're going past him. And this guy has been lame from birth, so I would imagine he knows who gives, who doesn't. He's probably looking at the crowd, trying to find out, "Hey, this guy gave to me last week. This guy was here yesterday. Hey, this guy looks rich. He might have some extra money." He's not really focusing on everyone. He's trying to pick out of the crowd, "Who's going to put some money in my plate? I need to keep going. I need to live." So if Peter and John did not get this man's attention, he may have passed up a blessing that would be life-changing for him.
Amen.
The truth for us, guys, is not to let the world distract you to the point that you no longer listen to God.
Yes,
and that you might not any longer see the wonder in His creation. In Psalm 46, verse 10, the psalmist writes, "Be still and know that I am God." Guys, we cannot do that in a busy world. We have to take time. Because if we do not intentionally seek God in our lives, we will unintentionally let the world fill that gap and shut Him out.
Amen.
An example in my life was years ago before kids. We had... some people remember that. We had cable TV. We haven't had it for probably 20 years or more. But in my life, the way I'm wired, the way God wired me, I can watch TV or I can talk to my wife, but I cannot do both. And I used to come home, and our big deal was to sit down. I used to work fairly late at that time in my life. I would come home and I'd be in time for the 8 o'clock movie. And that was our big deal. I'd come home from work, grab something to eat. We'd sit on the couch, watch the 8 o'clock movie. Well, Freddie is a normal female, and she uses more words than I do because I'm a normal male. And she wanted to talk. And she would be talking away, and she might ask me a question. And I didn't hear a word of it. And she would get mad. "Hey, what are you doing? What are you talking about? What do you think about this?" I had no idea what she's talking about. I was focused on the TV. And finally, it got so bad, I told her one day, I said, "Hey, we can either talk or we can watch TV. But, you know, don't do both. If we're going to talk, let's turn it off. If we're going to watch TV, let's watch TV." So, now some of you may be saying, "You know what? I can multitask." I hate to tell you guys, but I've read several studies now that say everyone that multitasks, you're just doing a lot of things poorly. Because And I tell you what, it's kind of interesting. Some of you who are at work and you do a lot of business over the phone, I would venture to say this has probably happened to you, but you'll be talking to someone and they're not quite answering you correctly, they're not responding well, and you know at that point, they're answering an email. They're not really listening to me. So, guys, don't let that happen in your spiritual life. Listen to the things that God says to you. Pay attention to those things around you, and don't let the world crowd out the things that God wants you to see.
Amen.
Continuing in chapter 3, verse 5, it says, "And he began to give him his attention, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, 'I do not possess silver and gold, but what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, walk.'" Guys, do you realize, as Christians, as baptized believers, being buried with Christ in the waters of baptism, rising to walk with Him again in the newness of life, that we possess something much more precious than silver or gold?
Amen.
This man was looking for money that would sustain him for that day, but Peter and John were able to give him Christ that would sustain him for a lifetime.
Yes.
As has already been mentioned by a couple people, we are going through hard economic times. But guys, don't let that be a distraction that the world uses, that you might take your eyes off of Jesus Christ, because what is within us is so much greater than silver or gold. And the world will tell you otherwise, but we need to be grounded in the truth as Christians.
Amen.
So the example here for us is, what do you do in the name of Christ? Do you realize the gifts that are given us are given to us by Christ so that we might fill a void in His kingdom? And God has chosen you to do that. But the funny thing about a gift is worthless unless it is given to the person to whom it is intended. Can you imagine sitting around at Christmas or sitting at a birthday party, a shower, or something of that nature, an event where you typically give gifts to people, and you've thought out a wonderful gift that you want to give to this particular person? You know it's what they've desired all their life. It's going to make their life just so much more happy. And you go up to them and you tell them, "I bought you a gift." And they say, "Great, where is it?" And you say, "Well, I left it at home." The gift has no worth. That person does not receive the benefit of that. God has gifted each and every one of us in a way that we can use that gift to encourage and uplift one another and to strengthen this body of believers, but it is worthless unless we share it with those around us.
Yes, sir. Amen.
So we are called to do that by Jesus Christ, and we can see what happens in this story when we are obedient. And you may be sitting here today thinking, "Oh my goodness, you know, Peter and John go up, they pray on this guy, he leaps up, he's healed. There is absolutely no way I could do something like that. That's too big. That's a miracle." Well, can I tell you guys that you do not have to do that? Remember what Jesus said in Matthew 25, starting in verse 34. And this is a rather long passage, but I want to read the whole thing because I think it applies to us today, because many times we set our sights on these lofty goals, but Jesus brings it back to something that's very obtainable for each and every one of us when He says, "Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me.' Then the righteous will answer him, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? And when did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or naked and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and come to you?' The king will answer and say to them, truly, I say to you, to the extent that you did it to one of these brothers of mine, even to the least of them, you did it to me.
Amen.
You see, we need to be thankful for the little things in our life. God will sort the rest of this big stuff out. But if we're obedient in the smaller things, we will be trusted with greater things. Give someone a drink of water. Feed someone who's hungry. Clothe someone who is poor. Do these things in the name of Jesus Christ. And the miracle that will be performed is truly as great as what Peter and John did.
Amen.
For the truth we see here today is, see a need, meet that need. Now, some of you may be saying, well, you know what, that sounds great, and I can cook so I can feed someone, and I can turn on the tap water so I know I can give somebody something to drink, but I don't even know how to go about that. Well, you know what, can I say to you that you just need to look around where God is working and join Him? If you want to feed someone, get with Margaret Watera and ask her what needs to be done at the food bank. That's a wonderful ministry that happens here right now that feeds those who are hungry. Do you want to visit someone in prison or share Christ with someone in prison? Get with Kathleen or with Freddie and find out what they're doing with World Bible School now that's going into the prison and touching the lives of those who have made mistakes and are now in prison. You don't even have to physically go there, but they are sending the Word of God into these prisons where people might not have heard of Him before. There are things set up within this church already in ministries that you can become a part of that are doing just what Jesus asked us in the verses we just read out of Matthew. Join in. Help out. But everything that we do needs to be done in accordance with Matthew 5:16, where Jesus says, let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. You see, we are doing these things to glorify God, not ourselves, or to seek some type of reward. But we should do these things to bring honor and glory to God so that others might know His Son, Jesus Christ, so that they too could join this family of believers.
Amen.
If we continue on in Acts 3:11, it says, while he was clinging to Peter, this is the man that is now healed, because he's, can you imagine the joy this man feels? So he's clinging to Peter and John. It says, all the people ran together to them at the so-called portico of Solomon, full of amazement. So if you can picture this scene, guys, that's why I chose this picture. You've got a man who has been lame since birth, so you know this wasn't some hokey, gimmicky thing. All the people around it knew it too. A miracle of Christ has happened. The people that were around it gathered immediately, I'm assuming. And those, if you've ever been in a crowded place and something starts happening over in a corner or something, you'll see people start gathering. Those that are in the middle of this, they will know what's going on because they saw it happen. But as you disperse from that crowd and get further and further away, you have less and less knowledge of the event that brought you together in the first place. So I'm thinking in this crowd, you probably have people that are standing on the fringe that have no idea what has just happened. But they know something occurred. So what now? What now? Well, Peter and John have a ready-made crowd that they can now share the gospel with and tell those people who are out in the fringes what has happened.
Amen.
So the next thing, they start to preach. Starting in verse 12. But when Peter saw this, he replied to the people, men of Israel, why are you amazed at this? Or why do you gaze at us as if our own power or piety made this man walk? The God of Abraham, of Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified His servant Jesus, the one whom you delivered and disowned in the presence of Pilate, when he had decided to release him. Now, I'm not going to continue and read this full sermon to you today. You can read that on your own. But to follow this example and to share Christ with those who have become interested, we must know Scripture.
Amen.
In 1 Peter 3:15 we read, "But sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account of the hope that is in you."
Yes, sir.
"Yet with gentleness and reverence." We cannot do that if we are not in the Word ourselves.
Amen.
You have to know the Word to share the Word to those around you.
Yes, sir.
Now, for those of you that are kind of overachieving and you're reading ahead into the sermon, you may say, well, hey, Peter's not even following his own advice here where he says, use gentleness and reverence. Because if you read that sermon, he's saying some pretty tough stuff.
Amen.
But what I want you to think about, what he is saying is truthful, number one. Number two, I believe he is saying it in love. And I'll tell you why he's saying it in love in just a minute. But he's also giving them an accurate account of the historical events that have led them to the place they are at this point in time.
Amen.
Why do I think he's saying this all in love? Because consider how he finishes the message to them. Starting in Acts 3:25, "It is you who are the sons of the prophets and the covenant which God made with your fathers, saying to Abraham, 'And in your seed," or descendants, "all the families of the earth shall be blessed. For you first, God raised up his servant and sent him to bless you by turning every one of you from your wicked ways." Can you imagine how wonderful that is? After hearing what you have just participated in, you know, this may sound familiar to a lot of you guys, and it should, because this pattern really had just occurred in Acts chapter 2 when Peter addressed the crowd on the day of Pentecost, and they were cut to the heart. And they said, "Men and brethren, what must we do?" A very similar thing is happening now. Peter tells them some really tough stuff. He does it in love, but he gives them the good news in the end and says, this all happened. Jesus was resurrected so that you might join again with the Father. He tells them that. That is the love that Peter had for these people, to finish out the message. Not to condemn them and leave them in that state, but offer them the hope that Christ gives to each and every one of us today.
Amen.
I want to end this with the verses in Acts chapter 4, starting in verse 1. "As they were speaking to the people, the priest and the captain of the temple guard and the Sadducees came up to them, being greatly disturbed, because they were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in jail until the next day, for it was already evening. But many of those who had heard the message believed, and the number of men came to be about 5,000. You realize the wonderful and amazing thing that has just occurred. By meeting the need of one person and preaching Christ, 5,000 and more, because it says 5,000 men, more than 5,000, because we know there were more than just men there, were saved. So by meeting the need of one man, more than 5,000 people were saved, because Peter and John took the time to share Christ with this person as they went about their daily routines.
Amen.
In 2 Timothy, Paul writes to the young evangelist, "Preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction." As I said before, to do this, you have to know your Bible. Christians, open the book and read it so you can then share it with those around you. And by following that model of seeing a need, meeting a need, and sharing Christ, you will then become a model that I hope we could then say, as Paul did in 1 Corinthians 11:1, "Be imitators of me, just as I also am of Christ." Do you hear the qualifier that Paul puts on that? He writes this because he knows that those who come to know Jesus from his teaching more than likely will follow his example, as people who come to know Jesus through you will probably do for you. So it's important that Scripture says over and over again that we are conforming to the image of Christ. Paul says, follow me, but only as I follow Christ. So we have to, in our own lives, guys, we follow Christ in his image, knowing that people are looking at us as Christians to see what does a Christian do and how do they act in their life. I want today to encourage you to start finding ways to share Christ as you live your life. As we're reading from these scriptures, we don't have to go out of our way to find people in need. Use scripture in your language so that you remember for yourself as a Christian, oh yeah, I'm using the ninth hour because that's the hour in which Christ died. Oh yeah, I'm using the 11th hour because of the parable. It will be a reminder to you, and not only that, someone may say, well, what does that mean? And the door then is open for you to share parts of the gospel. You can help out, as I mentioned, with a food pantry. You could do a big, what I consider a big thing, and help out with the evangelism effort to Honduras. Get in touch with Torch Ministries. That's something we've supported here at the church for many years. And many of these young people have benefited from those excursions and sharing Christ with those who have absolutely nothing. You can get, you know, you can visit people in the prison, as I mentioned. Get with Kathleen or Freddie, find out what World Bible School is now doing there. You could host a Saturday night Devo for these young kids and share your life with them. It is amazing. Many of you have stepped up who don't have teens in your home at this point in your life. And some of you have never had teens in your home that are doing that. But the sharing that I see occur there is just unbelievable. And the knowledge and the things that each generation learns from each other. Those are all ministries, things that are happening right now in this church that you can become a part of. See John or Bill, myself, Scott, get with someone if you're interested. Bruce is in education. Find someone, ask them, you know, where can I plug in? How can I become involved? The ways to share Christ are many, and as I said before, God has gifted you to fill that open spot. So if you're in service now, thank you. We appreciate that. And I pray that God will strengthen you and increase your ministry. But if you're not in service, find a way, a place that you can plug in. For this morning, the four closing thoughts that I would like for you to take with you today that I believe sums up the scriptures that we've been reading, is to see a need. You see, Christ thought more of people, and we know God loves us so much that he gave his only son. Christ loved people too. He was that example here on this earth. We need to find that need of those around us. Remember, Jesus healed on the Sabbath. That was a big thing. He shouldn't have been doing that. But he cared more about the people than he did about the religious customs of that day. He wanted to show care to that person. Peter and John were going to pray. They could have been pious and said, I can't do this. I have to go to pray. No, they stopped and helped a man. God cares about people. So meet a need in the people you see. You see, when you meet that need, you will show them how much you care. People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And once they know how much you care, they then will be open to the gospel message. Give God the credit for what you do in other people's life, and then be sure that you are imitating Christ. The pattern is see a need, meet a need, share Christ, imitate Christ. So that person now can see a need, meet a need, share Christ, imitate Christ. You see the pattern? If you keep that pattern up, we will go and make disciples of all nations. So I encourage you today, if you haven't in times past, apply that pattern to your life so that others may know Jesus Christ through the things that you do.
Amen.
If you're here today and you've never made a conscious effort to take Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you've never been baptized with Him in the waters of baptism to rise again, to walk the newness of life, we invite you to come forward this morning as we stand to sing our last song. We also invite you, if you need prayer or wish to discuss something with one of the elders, both John and Bill are here today, you may come forward at that time also. So if you have a decision to make or need prayers, please come forward now as we stand and sing.